content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. We begin with this one from Woman's Day in honor of Heart Health Month, February. Build your heart team. Enlist the help of all your medical pros to keep your cardiovascular system healthy. When it comes to taking care of your heart, you may not realize you likely already have a highly qualified team of experts in place, even if you don't see a cardiologist. The professionals you regularly check in with can help play a role in supporting good heart health. And as an empowered patient, it's your job to help keep your primary physician looped in. What goes on in, say, your dentist's office shouldn't be an isolated set of facts. Bring that into your general doctor, says Stacy E. Rosen, MD, a cardiologist with Northwell Health. Follow his advice to get the most from these four key people. First, your gynecologist. A range of gynecological issues, from your birth control method to the timing of your first period, can affect your heart. And pregnancy is considered the first stress test for the heart, as that's when initial signs of cardiovascular complications can pop up. What to do? Discuss your past pregnancies and any complications you experienced, such as preeclampsia, a condition characterized by high blood pressure. Now we know that women who had preeclampsia have a higher risk of heart disease and hypertension later in life, says Ina Landris, MD, an OBGYN in the Obstetric Cardiology Program at New York Presbyterian and Weill Cornell Medicine. Having gestational diabetes and hanging on to excess baby weight may also be linked to future heart trouble. Your eye doctor. Optometrists and ophthalmologists may detect signs of high blood pressure as eye exams let them look directly at important blood vessels. What to do? Ask about any differences since your last eye exam. Changes to the blood vessels inside your eyes and retina may indicate high blood pressure or other conditions, says Mark Jacquot, OD, clinical director at LensCrafters. Even if you get an all clear, keep next year's appointment on the calendar. And your dentist. While the connection between oral health and the heart isn't fully understood, research shows that poor dental habits can put you at risk for heart disease. One theory is that gum disease causes chronic inflammation, a contributor to heart disease. What to do? Ask about the state of your gums. Gum and periodontal disease in particular may increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. Make sure to floss daily and brush at least twice a day. Doing all that? Your dentist may prescribe an antimicrobial mouth rinse to further keep disease-promoting bacteria at bay. And last, your therapist. Long-term stress can lead to increases in blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar. Depression and anxiety are linked to heightened risk of heart attack and stroke. What to do? If you take meds to help manage your mental health, see if your prescription has cardiovascular side effects. Certain drugs can be dangerous to take if you have heart disease, while some research suggests that others, like antidepressants, may help people better maintain heart-healthy lifestyle habits. From Good Housekeeping, travel tricks. Good Housekeeping's resident life hacker Megan B. Murphy packs in a few of her best tips to ensure that your next trip will feel more like a vacation. First, keep hotel curtains shut. Even when you close the drapes, there's always somehow a sliver of light. Use a pants or skirt hanger to clip them all the way closed. I am going to try that for sure. Quarantine your shoes. Pack them in the freebie shower cap to keep icky soles from touching everything else in your suitcase. Throw a sink party. No cooler, no problem. Hit the ice machine, then fill the hotel sink with drinks. De-stink your clothes. Toss an unwrapped hotel bar of soap into your dirty laundry bag to tame bad odors until you get home. Cover your shaver using a binder clip to cover the blade of your razor before you stash it in your toiletry case. It can save you a cut. And last, protect your luggage. Buy a pack of fragile stickers online and slap them onto your bag so the airline will handle with care. And a completely different subheading here, but also good housekeeping. Now you can listen to The Good Stuff. We've created an audio version of our genius advice, from easy recipes to clever home hacks to honest product reviews, that you can listen to on your smart devices. Here's how to tune in on every platform. 1. Alexa Flash Briefing. Search for Good Housekeeping Briefing on your Alexa app. Click Enable and say to your device, "Alexa, what's my flash briefing?" 2. Google Narrative News. Simply say, "Hey Google, what's the latest from Good Housekeeping?" Or, "Hey Google, play the news from Good Housekeeping." 3. Google Play. Search for The Good Stuff from Good Housekeeping on your Google Play app. 4. Spotify. Search for The Good Stuff from Good Housekeeping on your Spotify app. And last, on iHeartRadio, search for The Good Stuff from Good Housekeeping in your iHeartRadio app. Check out the weekly rundown. On Monday, they concentrate on health. Tuesday, food. Wednesday, home and cleaning. Thursday, beauty. And Friday, entertainment. From Better Homes and Gardens, when it comes to your heart, family matters. Knowing the who, what, when, and whys of your relatives' heart disease histories helps you best protect your own. Follow this roadmap to fill in the blanks. What you may find out may save a life. Relative risks. The who. The heart health of your first-degree relatives, parents, siblings, and children impacts your own risk the most, especially if they developed heart disease prematurely, 65 or younger for women, 55 or younger for men, says Jennifer H. Mears, MD, professor of cardiology, senior vice president, Center for Equity of Care, Northwell Health. The health history of second-degree relatives, such as grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, provides less information about your risk, but their info is still worth getting. Your family heart health history is along a continuum, with closer relatives counting more heavily. But your doctor needs to know all of it to best evaluate your own risk, says Stacy E. Rosen, MD, cardiologist and senior vice president, Women's Health, Katz Institute for Women's Health at North Shore Health System. For example, if grandpa had a heart attack at 80, that's probably not a red flag. But if he was 48 and his relatives also had heart disease when young, that could signal a stronger genetic link. Find out if any of your relatives had the following conditions. High blood pressure. If a first-degree relative has hypertension, your chances of developing it increase, and you should be checked at least once a year. High LDL or low HDL cholesterol. Your doctor may want to test your cholesterol more often than the guidelines, which say every 4 to 6 years starting at age 20. Diabetes type 2. High blood pressure damages arteries. Diabetes doubles your risk of heart disease. Everyone should be tested starting at age 40. If diabetes runs in your family, testing earlier and more often can catch high blood sugar before it becomes a heart risk. Familial hypercholesterolemia, or FH. This is a genetic disorder in which your body can't clear bad LDL cholesterol from your bloodstream, which ups the risk of clogged arteries. Children and families with FH should have their cholesterol checked as young as age 2, says American Academy of Pediatrics. A genetic screening via a blood test can identify risk. Arrhythmias. Abnormal heart rhythms occur when the electrical impulses that coordinate your heartbeat are out of sync, triggering an erratic heartbeat. If a parent or sibling has an arrhythmia, for example, long QT syndrome, which is characterized by chaotic rapid heartbeats, relatives need to get checked. Tests to monitor the heart's electrical activity may include having an electrocardiogram, or ECG, wearing a Holter monitor, a portable ECG device, for a day or two, or having a tiny device called an ILR, indwelling loop recorder, implanted in your chest wall. An aneurysm. If a relative had an aneurysm before age 55, it may be hereditary. Imaging tests such as an ultrasound, CT, or MRI scan can tell if you're at risk. Cardiomyopathy. This disease of the heart muscle makes the heart unable to pump blood efficiently, leading to heart failure. If a relative has the condition, ask your doctor about having tests such as an echocardiogram and genetic testing. How to find out? It can be awkward to ask relatives about their medical issues or details about a loved one's death. If you have children, you might start the conversation by saying something like, "I want to do everything I can to protect my kids," says Amy Sturm, president of the board of directors of the National Society of Genetic Counselors. You'll want to ask specifics such as, "Has anyone had a heart attack, stroke, heart rhythm condition, or other heart problems? At what age did the relative develop the condition?" If several relatives have the same issues and or develop them at young ages, that points to a possible genetic link. Was the relative who had heart issues overweight? Did they smoke or have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes? Was death sudden for relatives who have passed? That could indicate certain heart conditions like an aneurysm, genetic heart rhythm disorder, or heart attack. If no one knows what caused a relative's death, see if you can find out what medical procedures they had and what medicines they took. These might be clues to what was going on and helped your doctors fully assess your own heart disease risk. What if you don't know your history and never will? Tell your doctor that, says Sharon N. Hayes, MD, professor of cardiovascular medicine at Mayo Clinic. If your blood pressure and cholesterol show you're at risk for heart disease, your doctor may do additional screenings, such as a blood test to check for high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, a measure of inflammation, or lipoprotein, a type of LDL, or do a coronary calcification scan, a CT, that measures plaque in arteries. And tilting the odds, even if heart disease runs in your family. Making healthy lifestyle changes can lower your risk. A recent study found that among people with a strong genetic risk for heart disease, lifestyle was a big contributor to developing it at a young age. Four of the most powerful preventative steps, these shouldn't come as a big surprise. First, don't smoke. Smoking damages the lining of your arteries, which causes plaque and blockages to form over time. Within a few days after quitting, blood pressure begins to fall. Within a year, your risk for coronary artery disease is cut in half. In 15 years, your risk drops to that of a non-smoker. Next, stay at a healthy weight. A BMI of 18.5 to 24.5 is ideal, but losing just 10 pounds can reduce your chances of developing heart disease. Exercise. You can lower LDL cholesterol with diet, but to raise good HDL, you need physical activity. Aim for 30 minutes or more of at least moderate aerobic activity, brisk walking, swimming, bike riding, 5 days a week, along with resistance training twice a week. Need motivation? Studies have shown that partnering with a friend or taking a class can help you keep at it. Wearables like pedometers and trackers have also been shown to help, says Mears, who co-authored Heart Smart for Women, 6 Steps in 6 Weeks to Heart Healthy Living with Rosen. And last, work with your doctor. Keep your doctor in the loop about your lifestyle. If tweaking your habits doesn't improve your cholesterol, blood pressure, and/or blood sugar levels, medications can make a huge difference. One study found that lowering blood pressure to recommended levels and reducing LDL cholesterol by 30% could lower your heart disease risk as much as a third. From the Good Housekeeping Cleaning Lab, question, can I wash my foam bed pillows? Answer, some are machine washable, but not all. Soft pillows filled with pieces of shredded foam can often be machine washed and dried. Select a delicate cycle and low heat and add a second rinse. Dense pillows of solid foam, though, should be spot cleaned with a damp cloth and mild soap and air dried. Every other month, machine wash and dry the removable cover and go over the foam with your vacuum's upholstery tool to zap dust. To nix odors, work baking soda into the pillow, and after 15 minutes, vacuum. Solid foam can tear and crumble when wet, so avoid immersing or scrubbing it. To help keep any pillow cleaner longer, place it in a liner, like one from Good Housekeeping Seal Star Protect-A-Bed, before slipping it into a pillowcase. Question: I'm in the market for ultra-plush carpeting. Is it true that I might also need a new vacuum? Yes, you might. When the pile is very dense, air may not pass between the carpet and the vacuum nozzle, causing the suction to seal some vacuums to the carpet. This makes them impossible to push and could even damage the carpet tufts. If your vacuum nozzle is adjustable, raising it will make the machine easier to push. But before investing in new carpet, call the manufacturer or check its website to see which vacuum brands and models are recommended. With luck, your current vacuum may be among them. Some new vacuums, like Good Housekeeping Seal Star Meal Complete C3 for soft carpet power line, have settings to raise the nozzle to the correct height, so pushing them across plush carpeting is easier. From Woman's Day, the Daily Dilemma: how do I handle a friend who won't stop bragging about her child? Woman's Day's expert Diane Gotsman, national etiquette expert and founder of the Protocol School of Texas, says you can do three things. First, be gracious. Bragging can sometimes come from insecurity, so a kind and gentle reaction would be to acknowledge her child's accomplishments without competing with a fact about your own. Next, change the subject. To slow the boasting, switch to a kid-free subject. Try, do you have any exciting vacation plans coming up, or how's work been going? And three, you can always avoid them. If your diversion tactics don't work, you may need to limit the time you spend with this person one-on-one. It's ultimately up to you how much bragging you can tolerate. And from Woman's Day, the picks for the best in new books, music, and more. First, a movie. Like a Boss. It's for fans of Bad Moms and Girls Trip. Two female friends decide to start a beauty company together. One is the more practical, while the other wants to live large. With Rose Byrne, Salma Hayek, and Tiffany Haddish. Watch TV. When Calls the Heart. It's for fans of Call the Midwife, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Set in a western coal mining town at the turn of the century, this Canadian-American drama returns for a seventh season with changes in store for Elizabeth, Lucas, Nathan, and others. Listen to some music. Nightfall by Little Big Town. It's for fans of Miranda Lambert and Lady Antebellum. It's an album full of beautiful, intimate moments. Listen to a podcast. Clear Story by This Old House for fans of PBS's This Old House TV show and DIY projects. The TV show just celebrated 40 years of fixing up old houses. Now the podcast is shedding light on surprising home facts and history. And last, read a book. A Long Petal of the Sea by Isabel Allende. I'll spell that Allende. It's for fans of Inland by Taya Olbret and Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver. In this novel spanning decades and continents, two young people flee the aftermath of the Spanish Civil War. Moving now to some recipes from Good Housekeeping. These are easy dinners. A vegetarian kale and chickpea soup. Prep time is 15 minutes, total 25. Heat 1 tablespoon olive oil in a large Dutch oven on medium. Add 6 cloves garlic, pressed, and 1 tablespoon grated lemon zest, and cook, stirring 1 minute. Add 1/2 teaspoon fennel seeds, coarsely crushed, and 1/4 teaspoon red pepper flakes, and cook, stirring 2 minutes. Add 4 cups water, 1 14-ounce can of tomato puree, and 1 teaspoon salt. Cover and bring to a boil. Add 1 bunch of Tuscan kale, leaves only, coarsely chopped, and simmer 4 minutes. Add 1 15.5-ounce can of chickpeas, rinsed, and simmer until heated through, about 2 minutes. Serve with 1/3 cup grated pecorino romano cheese and lemon wedges if desired. And that serves four. A family favorite, smoky turkey tacos. Prep time is 15 minutes, total time 25. Heat 1 tablespoon olive oil in a large skillet on medium. Add 1 large onion, finely chopped, and a quarter teaspoon salt, and cook covered, stirring occasionally until tender, 6 to 8 minutes. Stir in 2 cloves garlic, pressed, and cook 1 minute. Add 1 pound ground turkey and cook, breaking up into small pieces, 5 minutes. Sprinkle with a half to 1 teaspoon chipotle chili powder, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, and a half teaspoon salt, and cook, continuing to break up the meat, 2 minutes more. Stir in half cup canned tomato sauce and simmer until lightly thickened, 4 to 5 minutes. Fill 8 hard taco shells, which have been warmed, with turkey, and top with half cup grated extra sharp cheddar. Sprinkle with shredded iceberg lettuce and chopped cilantro and onion. Serve with sour cream and lime wedges if desired, and this serves 4 people, 2 tacos each. From Better Homes and Gardens, grain salad with greens, cherries, and crispy bacon. And it says, any tender greens work in this recipe, including baby kale, spinach, or mustard greens. And if you can't find fresh cherries, you can substitute frozen if you thaw before using. Here are our ingredients. 1 cup farro, rinsed and drained. 4 slices bacon. 1 5-ounce package baby kale. 1.5 cups pitted sweet cherries. 1/4 cup red wine vinegar, 1 teaspoon coarse grain mustard, 2 ounces blue cheese, sliced or crumbled. Hands-on time is 10 minutes and total time 40. In a medium saucepan, bring 3 cups water and the farro to boiling, reduce heat, simmer, cover, and simmer 30 minutes or until tender. Drain off excess liquid. Meanwhile, in a large skillet, cook bacon over medium until browned and crisp. Transfer to paper towels to drain, reserving drippings in the skillet. Add kale to the skillet by the handful, cooking and stirring until each addition is wilted. Remove skillet from the heat, stir in farro, cherries, bacon, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon black pepper. For the dressing, in a small bowl, whisk together the vinegar, 3 tablespoons olive oil, the mustard, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon black pepper. Add to the farro mixture, toss to coat. Top with the blue cheese, and it serves 4. From Good Housekeeping, sheet pan chicken Suiza nachos. Active time is 20 minutes, total time 35. We need a large poblano pepper, halved and seeded. 1/2 cup prepared salsa verde, 2 tablespoons sour cream, 2.5 cups fresh cilantro divided, 2.5 cups shredded white meat rotisserie chicken, 6 ounces of tortilla chips, or about 7 cups, 8-ounce Munster cheese, coarsely grated, or about 2 cups, 1/4 of a small white onion, finely chopped, and 4 small radishes, thinly sliced. Heat broiler. Arrange poblano, cut sides down on rimmed baking sheet, and broil until charred, 3 to 5 minutes. Transfer to a bowl, cover and let stand 5 minutes. Use paper towel to remove skins, then cut peppers into 1/4-inch pieces. Reduce oven temperature to 450 degrees. In a blender, puree the salsa verde, the sour cream, and 2 cups cilantro until smooth. Toss with chicken to coat. On the same baking sheet, toss chicken with chips, 1/2 of Munster, and chopped poblano. Sprinkle remaining cheese on top. Bake until cheese has melted and chicken is hot, 6 to 7 minutes. Chop remaining 1/2 cup cilantro and toss with onion. Scatter onion mixture and radishes over the nachos. And another way to do nachos, sheet pan double bean nachos. active time is only 5 minutes and the total is 15. We need 6-ounce tortilla chips, or about 7 cups, 1 15-ounce can low-sodium black beans rinsed, 8 ounces extra-sharp cheddar cheese, coarsely grated, about 2 cups, 1 15-ounce can vegetarian refried beans, 1/4 cup sour cream, 1 cup shredded romaine lettuce, 1/2 cup fresh pico de gallo, and 1/2 cup guacamole. Heat oven to 450. On rimmed baking sheet, toss chips, black beans, and 1/2 of the cheddar. Dollop refried beans on top and sprinkle with remaining cheese. Bake until beans are heated through and cheese has melted, 6 to 7 minutes. Dollop sour cream over nachos and top with lettuce, pico de gallo, and guacamole. And it serves 6. And vegan queso. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I did that one last week. Okay. From Good Housekeeping. We'll toast to this. There's no rule that says avocado toast can be enjoyed only between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Make this tasty combo your go-to when you need a hearty afternoon snack or a quick and easy dinner. Add a helping or a heaping, up to you, of smashed avocado to your favorite whole grain bread. Then top with slices of hard-boiled egg, scallion, and a sprinkle of sesame seeds. From Real Simple, Campari soda with orange. This is a cocktail for you. Pour 1/4 cup or 2 ounces Campari into a wine glass. Fill glass with ice and top up with chilled club soda and a squeeze of fresh orange juice. Garnish with a strip of orange zest. So that just makes one little pretty cocktail. From Better Homes and Gardens, Bistro Salad. Total time 25 minutes. 4 slices bacon, 1 cup coarse breadcrumbs, 4 cloves garlic, minced, 2 tablespoons chopped parsley, 1/4 cup olive oil, 1 shallot, finely chopped, 1/4 cup red wine vinegar, 1 tablespoon Dijon mustard, 1 small head escarole, trimmed and leaves separated. In a large skillet, cook bacon over medium until browned and crisp. Transfer to paper towels to drain and reserve the drippings. Add breadcrumbs and 2 cloves garlic to the skillet. Cook and stir 2 minutes until breadcrumbs are browned. Transfer to a small bowl. Stir in bacon and chopped parsley. Add a tablespoon olive oil to the skillet. Heat over medium. Add remaining garlic and the shallot to the skillet, stirring to scrape up any brown bits. Cook and stir 2 minutes. Remove from heat. Stir in the vinegar, mustard, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon black pepper until combined. Whisk in the remaining olive oil. Arrange escarole on a platter. Spoon dressing over top. Top with breadcrumb mixture and, if desired, additional parsley. Serve with lemon wedges. Serves 4. And it appears we've run out of time for this episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 832-5138. Till next time.